All right, we are in Psalm 85 this evening, and I'd like us just to, before we pray together, look and focus our thoughts on verse 8, and maybe build a little bit on what Greg Winchester was talking about in his devotional life, and that's hearing God speak to us. It says in verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. You know, there's a line in a song, it might even be the title of the song that we sing during Christmas. It's, Do You Hear What I Hear? And that's the thought that I had as I was preparing for this evening over and over again. Do you hear what I hear? Because when we're talking with other Christians, we often ask ourselves that question. Are they hearing, you know, the same thing that I'm hearing from God as I read the Word of God? Do you hear what I hear? In other words, as we look at verse 8, do you hear the Lord speak peace to you? Isn't that what it says here? And do you hear his warning in this verse? That is, not to turn back to folly, it says in the verse. What do you think the number one reason, and prayerlessness is not really the topic of my message, but what do you think the number one reason for prayerlessness among Christians is? Now, you don't have to answer out loud, but think in your head. What would be the number one reason that Christians don't pray? Well, I thought about it, and I would have to say, if you were to ask me what's the number one reason, from my perspective, and what has kept me from praying, is a lack of faith. I simply don't believe God. You say, well, why would you say that? Because if I truly did believe God answered prayer, I'd be praying joyfully, fervently, expectantly. It would be nonstop prayer and communion with my God. Isn't that true? So our big problem is we don't believe God. Now, when God tells us you should ask, you know, and I will give it to you, right? Now, okay, we see that and we say, okay, I believe that. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to pray. And we pray. Now, here's my next question. When we're done praying, do we look up? In other words, are we expectant? Are we saying, okay, God is going to respond to me. I don't know how, but I know he's going to. Back when we went through Psalm 5 many, many moons ago, David asked that same question in the morning. He prayed to God in Psalm 5 in verse 3 in the morning, and then he looked up. That's what the verse says. Psalm 5 and verse 3. So he looked up. You say, well, what does that mean? He looked up with this idea of expecting God to answer him. When Habakkuk had all these questions for God, he sat upon his tower and he looked for God's answers. And that's the key in all of this. Now, you say, well, where do we see this in Psalm 85? Well, if you look at verses 4 through 7 in Psalm 85, do you see specific prayer requests? See how specific they are? What is he asking for? He's asking for restoration. He's asking for God to cease from being angry. It says in the scripture he is asking for revival. He's asking for joy. He is asking for mercy, and he is asking for deliverance. Then he stopped asking, and then we get to verse 8. He stopped asking God, and then in verse 8 it says, I will hear now. I will hear what God will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the Lord speak? Well, I have three thoughts based upon this verse that I'm hopeful will help you this week. They're just simple thoughts right from the text here. The first thought is, if you dwell upon God's words, if you're listening to him, you will hear him speak. You say, that's pretty simple. But you know, a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe that God speaks to them. In January, I embarked upon doing something different in my devotional life and just started fervently memorizing verses again. And it's got to the point finally now where it's not mechanical. You know what I mean? Where you're not so worried about getting all the words right to where now when you're reviewing your verses, you're thinking to yourself about them. In other words, you're thinking about them and you're thinking about how they work and work themselves out in your life. When you read the Word of God, when you memorize the Word of God, and when you hear the Word of God, like Psalm 85, verse 8, being preached from the pulpit, do you really believe you are hearing the very words of God? That's the key. I think when you hear God's Word being read, when you hear it being proclaimed, when you read it yourself from the pages, when you think about it, when you dwell upon it, when you memorize it, you are hearing God speak to you. But the next question is, will you readily receive what He has spoken? Because it's very easy for us to say, okay, I've done that, and to just kind of shove it out into the periphery of our lives and not allow it to impact our lives or to change us in any way. The Thessalonians were told, receive the Word of God. You see, how did they receive it? Paul and his fellow workers, Barnabas, Silvanus, they preached it to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then it says they welcomed it, not as the word of men, as it were, but as the very word of God. That's why it doesn't really matter what I say when I'm up here in the pulpit until I am giving you the very word of God, right? Preaching the words of God. Cornelius, do you remember him in the book of Acts and his household? They were all present. And the Bible says that Cornelius speaking said, we're all here now, and we are here to listen to you, Peter. We're here to hear all of the things that God has commanded you. I have done what God wanted me to do. I've sent for you. You've come. Now I want to listen and hear what God has for us, for my household. Do you remember Eli, that rotten priest, in 1 Samuel? Do you remember when Samuel kept pestering him and going back and forth and saying, you know, what is it? What do you want? And Eli is saying, I didn't call you. I didn't call you. And this goes on. And then finally, Eli figures it out because he's spiritually dull, but he has enough sense to know that God is speaking to this young man. And so finally he gives him instruction and Samuel goes back. He hears God's voice again. And what does Samuel say? He says, speak. That's the very first word that comes out of his mouth. And then he says, for your servant, what? Hears. I'm listening to you, God. And I think that that's the way we need to be. We need to hear what people like Samuel hear. You say, well, I won't hear God audibly. Well, no, you probably will not. But you will hear Him when you read the Word of God. You will hear Him in church. You will hear Him when you fellowship with one another. I heard Him from Greg tonight. I heard Him from Robbie tonight. I heard Him from Lolita and Mike and everyone that gave a testimony. I heard God's Word. We were not giving glory to ourselves. We were giving glory to the God who gave us His Word. And it's changing us. It's moving within us. And so we're excited about that. But sometimes people don't hear what we hear. You say, well, why not? Because they're not on the same wavelength that we're on, right? They don't really believe the words of God. So that's my first thought. The second thought is, if you dwell upon the words of God, the Lord will speak peace into your life. Did you catch that in this verse? It says that He will speak peace to you. Now, we're going to look on Sunday night, Lord willing, during our Bible study fellowship, that God gives us peace. He gives us access. You say, what kind of peace is He talking about here? He's talking about hope, because we've been made right with God. So, you say, you mean to tell me that the wrath of God is no longer my concern? And that's exactly what I mean to tell you. Do you realize that the wrath of God is not being poured out against you as a believer? Not ever, and it never will be. So why would you participate with people in the world and do what they are doing when the wrath of God is being revealed against them? Do you see the logic there? For example, sometimes people say, well, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And then a Christian gets a hold of that verse and he realizes, I just lied to my wife or whatever. And then they think, oh no, I'm going to go to the lake of fire. What's wrong with that person? What don't they understand about the scripture? What they don't understand is you have the power not to lie. Right? God has given you that power because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You can tell the truth. But you decided to participate in a sin that will lead people to the lake of fire. You are free from it, but you decided to participate in it. I don't know about you, but that causes me great grief. When I think to myself, well, I have participated in sin that really I am free from. God has given me peace with Him. I'm no longer an enemy of God. I've been reconciled. Do you know that God doesn't look at you? He speaks peace into your life, remember. He doesn't look at you and say to you, I'm against you. No, God says, I am for you. And when God sees His children in sin, what is the reaction? Pity. Mercy. And sometimes He's going to have to bring chastening because our God indeed is a consuming fire, right? Do you see it? Now, here's the thing. If you don't believe that you have access, if you don't believe that you have peace with God, then you know what? You will not turn back from your folly. That's the third point here. See, if you dwell upon the words of God, you'll keep moving forward, you won't look back, and you will not return to your folly as even a dog returns to its own vomit. The whole point of dwelling upon God's words is not to keep a list of rules, but it is to dwell upon Him, the person of God, and to look more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the goal of all Bible intake, whatever form it comes, whether you're reading a book about marriage, or you're memorizing the Word of God, or reading through the Word of God, or listening to being proclaimed, all forms of Bible intake, the goal is to look more like Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus gave Himself for us, it says in Titus 2 and verse 14, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself, purify for Himself His own special people zealous for good works. Now listen, He has already redeemed us from every lawless deed. So that when God looks at us, He looks at us as perfectly righteous. And that never changes that position. Not ever. There's never a time that that will change. But if we are not living out our condition on planet Earth reflecting that position as a son or a daughter of God, then God will do whatever it takes to move us in the direction where we are. That's the idea. That's how much He loves us. The more you spin your wheels in the muck and mire and sin of this world, then the less zeal you're going to have to do the works that God wants you to do. Those works that He prepared for you beforehand. So my thought is very simple here. Following the line here of the verse, hear God speak. Hear God speak peace to you, and don't return to your folly. That's what the verse says. And that's the order we need to take it. Let's pray together. Father, we have ears to hear in this room. I believe everyone here does. But there are many people that are not here and around us that do not. Of course, there are always people that want to be here tonight, but they can't be. But Lord, there are people in the world. They cannot always shut their ears to Your voice. You're going to summon them one day to judgment, and they will obey You in that day. They cannot turn a deaf ear to You in that day. They will hear You say, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew You. And then You will put them in the lake of fire, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. How much better it would be, Lord, for our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, neighbors, the people that we run into every day, if they would hear You today before it's too late for them. Father, many are going to regret their apathy and the way that they presumed upon you. And they are going to desire to hide from you. They will even ask the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them. And we're asking, Lord, before that ever happens, that you would use us to save some of them. And then, Lord, still others have been with us in this room and have returned to the world. And, Father, they cannot have peace without you this evening. They are tormenting their souls. They are drowning you out, I'm sure, and inviting your chastening. We pray that they would weep over their sin once again, that the pleasures of the world would lose their luster, that they would remember from where they have fallen, and that they would repent and do those first works. And then finally, Father, we pray for the peace that flows from your heavenly throne like a mighty river, for the grace that we need. Give to us these great and precious promises in your word and strengthen us to pray looking up expectantly. Let us hear you speak in the stillness, Lord. Give us the comfort you desire for us, because we know that you are for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Keep us from falling away from you, and having these great and precious promises, let us, Lord, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.